It has been said that cleanliness is next to godliness. Is such a statement true? Well, that depends on what type of cleanliness you're talking about. While I was on vacation in Oregon, as I was staring at the crystal blue water of Crater Lake, breathing in that crisp mountain air void of anything resembling humidity, I admit, I felt a little cleaner than usual. I also got to see a waterfall in the midst of the cold river water running over the mossy side of a cliff. It gave me a tingling sensation as it hit my skin to again cause me to feel a little cleaner than usual. There's also a lake in Oregon called Diamond Lake. Why? Because when the sun hits it, it literally shines like a diamond. In environments such as these, it's not difficult to see why somebody would think that they're just a little closer to God because they're feeling a little cleaner than usual. Now, of course, the sensation of feeling clean does not have to come only by way of being in a particular place. Likely you feel energized after that long, hot, soothing shower or bath following a hard day's work. You're invigorated. You're refreshed. It feels good to get the dirt and grime off the body when we wash. And to be clear, friends, we are certainly free in the gospel to enjoy a clean body and a clean place that God has created for our enjoyment. Nevertheless, neither the natural wonders in Oregon nor washing with your favorite soap can make you clean enough to stand before your holy God. Now, this may seem a little silly to the mature Christian. This idea of needing to wash or be in a clean feeling place in order to be accepted by God. However, friends, the root problem in all of this is man's age-old attempt to devise some sort of scheme or some sort of work that, when it is accomplished, one will merit favor from God. That's the exact problem we see in today's text. It's the familiar foes of Jesus, right? Scribes and Pharisees, and they've come from Jerusalem. And they notice something about some of Jesus' disciples. And that is, they have committed the egregious sin of eating with unwashed hands. That means their hands were defiled. Now, this wasn't a lesson on hygiene. I think we'll all agree. It's a good idea to wash your hands before you eat. And the Pharisees and scribes were not physicians concerned about the contamination and spreading of germs in ancient Israel. No, something far more sinister and dangerous is taking place, friends. And that is, the enemies of Jesus were taking tradition and putting it over and above the holy word of God. Now, this tradition of washing pots, cups, vessels, even dining couches, was a tradition that did not come from Moses. It did not come from the word of God. Rather, it came from rabbinic teachers after the time of the Old Testament. This tradition came about in the time period between the closing of the Old Testament and the New Testament era. And to be clear, tradition in and of itself can be a good thing. A tradition, friends, that which is passed down from previous generations, can be very helpful when it comes to teaching and even preserving the pure doctrine of God's church. Tradition that upholds and promotes free course of the gospel amongst the people of God can be a very helpful thing. The problem, Christian, is when tradition is put over and above the word of God, and even worse, when tradition is contrary to the word of God. The Pharisees and the scribes were not practicing this tradition to better teach the people of God's word in ancient Israel. Rather, this is what Jesus says about them. Quote, "You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition." These enemies of Jesus actually thought that people were defiled because they didn't wash their hands. Jesus sums up the problem by quoting the word of God uttered from the prophet Isaiah. He says this: "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" I began talking in this sermon about washing or being in a particular clean feeling place in order to be accepted by God. But again, friends, the problem is man's attempt to do something in order to gain satisfaction from God. The external work is what saves, not faith. The religious leadership in Israel, they had the ceremonies down. In the eyes of the world, they looked righteous, tithing, wearing long flowing robes, sitting in the best places in the synagogues, praying elaborate prayers in the marketplaces. It seemed as if they had it all figured out from a visual perspective, and yet all their pomp, all their ceremony, all their worship was in vain. "Their heart is far from me," says our Lord Jesus. "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Christian, is your heart far from God? Or have you ever asked yourself the question, how does God look upon the way in which we worship? Like the Pharisee and the scribe in today's text, it can be tempting to fall into that snare of thinking that just by coming to church and going through the routine, going through the motions, God will be pleased with you. I mean, after all, it does take a lot just to get to church. You have to wake up in the morning, you have to get dressed, you got to get your kids ready on time. That alone can be a feat in itself. Then you come and you sit through the service, and then you got to make it home in time to watch the Cowboys game. Wait, did I say Cowboys? I meant to say Rangers. Wherever your allegiance lies. Brothers and sisters in Christ, going through the motions, simply sitting through this wonderful liturgy, does not bring you any closer to God than staring at a waterfall in Oregon. Now sure, there are things God promises here that he does not promise elsewhere. Here, we get to hear God's word proclaimed. We see baptisms take place. We have fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. He prepares for us a meal in which we get to receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins and the nourishing of our faith. A meal in which we can receive that gift. No other meal offers such a divine heavenly blessing. The danger, friends, the danger is worshiping, sitting through a liturgy with a heart that is far from God. And that leads me to the next question. What is a heart that is far from God? Christians, it's very simple. The heart that is far from God is the heart that is void of faith, the heart filled with unbelief. You got the ceremonies down. You can go through them with your eyes closed. You can do works of the law with vigor and enthusiasm. But the danger our Lord Jesus points out is the danger of having a heart that at the end of the day is filled with unbelief in Jesus Christ, trusting in him to be the sole source of cleansing that we need, a cleansing that is ours on account of his shed blood, a promise that is yours by faith. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees looked clean on the outside, but they neglected the bigger problem, and that is they were unclean on the inside. They rejected God's word to instead hold fast to teachings and traditions that were spawned from the sinful heart of man. And by doing that, by rejecting God's word, by rejecting Jesus Christ as the Son of God, these enemies of the gospel possessed hearts that were far from God. And despite all of their silly attempts to be clean, the reality was they weren't. They weren't. They were filthy and polluted on account of their sin in the eyes of their holy God. Sin, Christian, defiles the person. It is sin that makes a person unclean. Polluting the flesh and all the scrubbing in the world on your part cannot make you sparkle enough to stand before your holy God. True cleansing, Christian, that every sinner needs, must come from outside of the flesh. True cleansing that every sinner need must come from God. And it does. As dirty as our sins make us, as filthy as we are on account of our sins, out of God's love, mercy, and compassion, seen in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you are cleansed. On account of Him and His work, you are washed and you are forgiven. It is Jesus who is the true source of holiness and cleanliness that our bodies need. And this washing, Christian, is yours not by your external work. It is not yours by how well you go through the motions in life. This washing that our Lord and our God Jesus freely gives us is a washing that is yours by faith. The heart that is close to God is the heart possessing the gift of faith. By faith, you are justified. By faith in Christ, you are forgiven, washed, and cleansed from your sins. Jesus has made sure of it. His work on the cross, Christian, has forever sealed you as God's purified child. By His blood shed, your sins have been atoned for, every one of them, and by faith in His work and in His promises, you stand before God as one who is righteous and pure. And if you're thinking about baptism at this point, all this talk about washing and forgiveness, fantastic. We know what God promises in our baptism, and that is you receive a daily washing, by which daily the old Adam, the sinful flesh, is drowned so that a new man can emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Another promise that is yours, Christian, by faith. What this means is that you may look dirty on the outside. You and others may see your sins and the consequences of your sins that have mounted up over the years. Nevertheless, God has given you a promise that is to be rejected for nothing else. And that promise is, by faith in the pure Holy One of Israel, our Lord Jesus, you are washed, you are forgiven, you have been cleansed from your sins. This promise is yours whether you are staring at a waterfall in Oregon or living in the wonderful desert flatlands of Texas. This promise is yours, Christian, when you're suffering. This promise is yours when the weight of your sins is weighing down upon you and it is a burden you cannot lift on your own. The promise is still firm. God declares, on account of your Savior, Jesus Christ, you are sanctified. You are forgiven, you are washed, you are truly clean. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Depart in His peace. Amen.